Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Church, and good morning to you today, and welcome to worship here at our church. For those of you online, thank you for joining us. Our scripture lesson for this morning is once again Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. If you have a Bible, feel free to turn very quickly to Matthew. If you want to hold one in your hands, the blue ones are the ones in English in front of you. For those of you online and even here in the church, you'll see it here behind me and on your screens here at home. And once again, thank you for joining us. Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 to 12, Word of God. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pause on this Christmas Sunday when we're just days away from celebrating the birth of your Son. Thank you for giving us the greatest of gifts. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of worship, of being able to lift our voices to you, that they might echo and resound in your throne room in this moment. Thank you for the gift of your word. I pray that it would speak to us today, that we would hear your voice, that we would hear your encouragement, that we would hear your challenge. So, Heavenly Father, here we are. Fill this place. May your spirit move freely here, finding open minds and hearts, lives, to refresh, to revive, to transform. So, Father, be here. Give us a taste of your glory as we dive into your word. Thank you for Jesus, who makes all this possible. And it's in his precious name that we all pray. Amen. Amen. Church, once again, welcome to this Christmas Sunday. This is our last kind of official Sunday before Christmas hits. If you've been with us these last couple of weeks, you have seen us working through these three gifts of the Magi. We talked about the myrrh, which was the aloe that was applied to a person who was about to be buried. And we talked about how that already foreshadows. It kind of points you to Jesus Christ. And then we talked about the frankincense, the incense, the gift for a priest. And that would have signaled to Israel, to anyone really paying attention, that this baby that was born was going to be that bridge, was going to be the middleman, so to speak, the one who would prepare people to encounter God and the one who would bring people into the presence of God. And then today we deal with gold, right? The final of gifts. More understandable for a child starting their life. I know many of you sometimes when it's maybe your own kid's birthday or a grandkid or a friend from one of your children's class, you know, you give them a $20 bill and that's kind of their start, right? It lays a good foundation for them to learn how to spend and take their money. So this was kind of a more common and normal gift. But here, Jesus and the scripture and Christ speaking through it wants us to really talk about where our treasure is. And so that's what we're going to go after today. Again, using Matthew chapter 2, 7 to 12 as a jumping off point, I want to share with you these tiny little parables that you find in Matthew chapter 13. And I'm gonna take them piece by piece. It'll be Matthew chapter 13, 44 to 46. We'll show it here on your screens. For those of you at home, you'll see it. Here in the church, you'll see it. And I'll work my way through all three where Jesus really deals with the topic of treasure. He begins to ask the question, what is your treasure and what are you willing to do with it? So listen to these words, how powerful. This is Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Okay, so two things about the ancient world that we need to just understand so we deepen and we get a better sense of what we're saying here and why Jesus is using this example. Number one, the ancient world did have banks. They weren't very good, but it did have banks. But the best bank of all was the ground beneath your feet. So that's why you have archaeologists who are constantly digging up treasures and artifacts from the ancient world, and that's how we learn. Well, in the ancient world, when there was a war coming, and if you really think about history for a second, this corridor of Israel, modern-day Lebanon, a little bit of Syria, that little strip of land right there was always at the crossroads of war. Just to use an example, the Assyrians come from the north into Israel. Egypt comes from the south into Israel. Babylon comes from the east. You can't do nothing from the west because that's the ocean. Okay, so no one's coming from there, right? So then you had the crossroads was always in this place. So here's how the ancient world worked. You live in one of the outskirts in some little town of Israel, scattered along the land. You hear the sounds of war. You hear the army marching. Gung, 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 gung. Typically, sometimes they will march to a drum to kind of keep the rhythm of the soldiers. Then, if the armies were close enough, you would hear the scream, the shout of war. Because here we go, kind of like, you know, in that part in the movie where the armies just kind of rush each other? Yeah, that's war, right? And then you would hear the clanging of the swords. This is all real, okay? So then what would happen was when you would hear the first thumps of war, you would find the most valuable thing in your house, whatever it might be, and you would either dig up the floor in your living room, because you were living pretty much on dirt, padded down dirt. If you were in one of the towns or villages, you might have a hard floor, but typically it was a kind of a hard mud floor. You would take kind of the way they built their roofs, a little bit of palm, a little bit of dirt, a little bit of water and mud, and you had a hard caked floor. You would dig it up, or you would go to your backyard or your front yard, very small little square, where you grew some of your own vegetables. Maybe you had a little bit of a tree or something or the other. You dug there, you stuck whatever it was. Everything in the ancient world was valuable. Even a chair, a table was even valuable, depending on how it was made and what the material was. You would stick it in a hole in the ground. You would cover that thing up. You would throw some leaves on it, some branches on it, hope that nobody would see it, and you would run for your life. Now, where you were away for a month, 2 months, a year, 2 years, when the war was over and things settled, then you came back to your town, hoping that you could recognize your house, if it was even there. You might see your neighbor's house. Is this the street where we lived on? It kind of looked, well, I remember that tree, and we were, so then if you were lucky enough, you dug that hole back up, and you had something of value to restart your life again. Now, many times those treasures were not found, because when an army came in and burned the city down or the town down, you weren't finding anything. So in the time of Jesus, what would happen a lot was that you're going about your business and you're marching your way. You're taking a shortcut, right? You really don't want to go down the street and hang the left and hang the right to get to the marketplace today. You just want to cut across this empty piece of land that we've had here forever. Nobody knows why it's empty. Well, people used to live there. So you're taking your shortcut and you're just walking about, boom, your toe hits something. What is that? And all of a sudden, when you look down, there's something kind of sticking out of the ground. You start digging, and it's a treasure. So this is something that the people who are listening to Jesus are like, yeah, that I've seen that happen before. Maybe it even happened to me. But here's where it gets interesting. Because Jesus says that the treasure that is found there is enough that the individual runs back to their house, empties their closet, empties their drawers, tells his wife to gather all the furniture, put it on the back of a donkey. You grab anything of value, your pots and pans, you walk over to the town trader, and you say, this is all yours. Give me something for it, that land over there. The empty lot, the kind of the shortcut to the market. Yeah, I want that one. Wow, that's kind of weird. So in other words, you give up everything to be able to have this one thing. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus, as a great storyteller, he's just trying to make one point. Number one, three small little applications. First application is this. In the daily, right, we rush so much. We run so much. We live by our watches. We live on this tight schedule, right? Get the kids to school or get to work on time. I got to do this. I have a meeting. I have a conference call. I have this. I got to send the emails. I've got to write this report. Oh, I got to get the kids. We got to go home. We got to do their homework. We got to have dinner. Give them a bath. Get them ready. Teenager, take a shower. I don't want to. Take a shower, I said. You know, all that good stuff. And then finally, it's 10 o'clock at night, and you're still trying to get the kids to bed, and you got some emails to send, and you got text messages coming through. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Yes. What was the one thing you didn't do all day long? You never stopped to listen for the voice of God. Not once did you stop to try to see what God is doing around you. And that's why Jesus uses this first example as just your typical day of life. I'm taking a shortcut. But he's paying attention. He's looking around. And when he sees something a little bit shiny sticking out of the ground, he stops. Something that we don't know how to do in our society. He stops and he digs. So church, I say to you today, and we can start talking about 2021 already, right? We can start kind of, as you think through things that you might want to change, change that. Hey, look, if you live the kind of life or career that you have to rush a little bit, that's okay. There's no sin in that. But make sure that in that daily, in that movement, you have your ears open to what God is trying to say to you. You have your eyes looking for those, the hand of God at work, trying to shape and mold and direct. Don't just blow by it like blowing through a stop sign because you have so much to do and you're the busiest person on the planet, right? Because you're so important. Pause. Listen. Look. Because if you don't pause, listen, and look, you lose out on the treasure. Now, for some, finding the treasure is obviously, in this context, what Jesus is saying is discovering Jesus for the first time. Right? What I would say to you who maybe have been walking with Christ for a while is continuing to deepen that walk, which takes us to the second little mini application. He had to dig. The treasure wasn't just sitting there in front of him. Oh, look, because then anybody could have come and taken it. He had to stop, right? Look, listen, and he had to dig. Listen, church, and again, I'm only your pastor. I can only preach from up front. I can't live that life for you. But what I'll say to you is this. There are too many people sitting in churches. I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about all of them. Okay? There are too many people sitting in churches that settle for a superficial relationship with Jesus Christ. A couple of songs, pastor's message on Sunday, maybe a Bible study here and there. Maybe I see this really cool devotional online that I read and it kind of stirs me up a little bit. Maybe I go buy one and I read the first three or four pages and I stop, you know? But you must dig, because then you pause one day and you say to yourself, man, I feel empty. My gosh, I feel like I'm just kind of like a little mouse running inside the little treadmill. I feel that my life is just kind of a schedule, right? And it just feels like I'm in no man's land. And yeah, there's God. And yeah, there's Jesus. And I'm grateful. But it's missing something. Of course. Because your faith might be 100 miles wide, but it's an inch deep. It doesn't matter how much you know and you do and the songs and the stuff and the sermons. But if this is as far as it goes, you got nothing. And there's too many people sitting in churches who settle for a faith that is inch deep. And this guy that Jesus presents dug deep. So church, I say to you today, as 2021 comes around and we leave behind this mess and disaster that has been this year, right? I think we can all agree on that, right? In 2021, dig deeper. Stop, look, listen, see the hand of God. Ask him to give you eyes to see what he is doing, where he is taking you. Not where you want to go, where is he taking you? And if you say to me, Pastor, I don't know what he's taking you. I don't know where he's taking me. Then I say to you, because you're an inch deep. That's why you don't know. Dig deep into his word so that you might discover the treasure that is Jesus Christ. The power in the gospel. The power in living for him. You'll see it. And then here's the last little mini point before we step into the next verses. And here comes the hard one. So get ready. Brace yourselves. I know it's Christmas. It's supposed to be nice and shiny and we got lights and the whole thing. But here comes the hard one. When Jesus says to you that this man, upon discovering the treasure, goes back to his house and he empties the entire thing out and he trades it in for a field that nobody uses, but there's a treasure in it. What is he saying to you? He is saying, everything is on the table when it comes to me. Everything is negotiable. There are no untouchables here. So what is Jesus saying to you? Yes, I need to be more important than your kids. That's a big no-no in our culture. Kids are number one, but we're just putting them aside, right? We talk about it, but we don't really do it. I need to be more important than your family. Oh, isn't church supposed to be family first? No. Church is supposed to be Jesus first, so you understand how to do family. Church is supposed to be Jesus first, so you understand how to love your kids and lead them. He's more important than your career. He's more important than your house. He's more important than your retirement account. He's more important than your checking account. When you walk out of here to buy some gifts, most of you are going to, wait, let me check the balance in my account. Let me go on my phone really quickly. He is more important than that. And what Jesus is saying to you in this parable is everything in your life is negotiable when it comes to me. Everything in your life is expendable when it comes to me. Everything in your life needs to go away so that I can be number one. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And he is saying to you, everything on the table. There is no area of you that you can say, no, Jesus, but you know, but this is so important. Because he'll come back and he'll say, I'm more important than that. And prove it otherwise. In other words, he is saying to you, there is absolutely nothing that you can put on the scale with me. In fact, there is no scale because there is no competition. There is no comparison here. It's just me. You give it all up to have me. In other words, everything is a very distant number two, right? You've seen the Olympics. You've watched the races when they start talking about the guy who's sprinting first. And, oh, here comes that distant number two, number three. That's exactly what he's saying. No one runs beside me. No one stands beside me. If your language is, yeah, because Jesus and then you have a problem. Because Jesus is saying, all of it goes. All of it is number two. The treasure is me. But then look, at he adds, because Jesus can do that, he adds a little bit of a twist to you. He's going to take you. He's going to take your arm. He's going to twist it. He says that the man went and he did this with joy. How many Christians do you know? Or let's not call them Christians. Let's be careful with that term. I've always, in our church, I like to use Christ followers, right? But how many church people do you know? Let's make a difference. Because there's a difference between following Christ and just showing up to church. Can we all agree on that? Very big difference, right? And so he says, this man in joy. In other words, oh, it's Sunday. It's 9 o'clock. I'm so tired. You know? Oh, yeah, that Bible study. I did so much today. You know, I really need to just, you know, God, I need some time to decompress. I need to refresh myself so I could be there tomorrow. Oh, yeah, you know, that opportunity to do that. Oh, yeah, but, you know, that's not joyful following. That's a Pharisee. That's a church goer, not a Christ follower. Because he says that this man sold it all with joy. So for the young people in here, Mom, do I really have to go to Friday night? Do I really have to go? For the college student, oh my gosh, do I really have to wake up and go to church? I'm so tired. I was out last night with my friends. You were willing to be with your friends out to 4 in the morning, but you won't come to listen to Jesus at 9 in the morning on Sunday. You see, church goer, Christ follower, very big difference. And Jesus is saying, yeah, he sold everything. He made everything number two. He put it all off on the side. He made everything negotiable with joy. So what I say to you today, and as 2021 comes around, follow Jesus with joy. Don't come muttering and complaining, being dragged through the doors of a church or a Bible study. What are you following in the first place for? With joy, follow Jesus. With joy, make him first. With joy, make everything second. With joy, make him your treasure, worth surrendering everything you have him. But then Jesus goes further. Here's a second little parable. Matthew 13, verse 45, he continues. You'll see it here. You see it here on the screens, and for those of you at home, right next to me. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So you're saying, wait, is that the same thing? No, it's not the same thing. So let's give you a little bit of context, a little culture so you understand. The ancient world did not look at pearls like you and me look at them. You and me go to the mall and there's that fancy store of jewelry and we look through the glass at things that we'll never buy and we can't afford and we'll see them and you'll say, wow, they are so beautiful, right? And you see this enormous price tag next to them. For us, they're a thing of value to trade, not for the ancient world. In the ancient world, the pearl was something that was so unique. It looked so different to everything else that the ancient world that saw. It was so rare. The composition was so interesting when you touched it that they just wanted a pearl to admire it, to be able to hold it in their hands and say, this is beautiful. This is precious. This is unique. So much different view of pearls than us. So Jesus goes from the war field, he goes to the marketplace. And he says that there were merchants, obviously looking, some of them were looking to buy and sell, obviously. But the typical person, notice that it says that the merchant, when he came across it, when he finally found it, he goes, and just to stay in the business side of things, sells the business because he found the pearl of great price. Again, Jesus saying, everything is negotiable. Everything is on the table. But not this time because it's a treasure, but because it's beautiful. But because it's precious. And let's just clarify a term. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, at its very core, at its most simple definition, that all of us can get our heads and hearts around, the kingdom of God is simply living and obeying the will and the way of God for your life. And the more you obey, the larger the kingdom becomes. Because the more you obey in a small will and way of this area, the obedience will spill over to another, spill over to another, spill over to another, and then the kingdom grows in your life. Just so you understand the terminology, how it works. But it starts at its core with just obedience and joyfulness and a following of the way and the will of God. Now we go back to the preciousness and the beauty. How hard is it for us to see that it is a beautiful thing to live in the will and way of God for our lives? Not something that you complain about. Oh, I can't believe that God has, you know, given me this house, and I can't believe they gave me this low-paying job, and I can't believe. That's a churchgoer, not a Christ follower. Someone who cannot see the beauty and the preciousness of just living in obedience and walking in the way and will of God. That's how the kingdom is born in us. That's the pearl. When you see this, not as something to do and not as something important, but as something that is beautiful, something that is precious. We reserve those words, right, for babies. We reserve those words when you stand in front of a mountain range on vacation. You're like, wow, that's beautiful, right? Because it's an overwhelming thing. It's larger than you are. And now you have this tiny little pearl, and Jesus is saying, this is precious. This is beautiful. In other words, this is precious. This is beautiful what we are doing. And it is beautiful and precious to walk in the will and way of God for your life. It's not something you complain about. It's something that you dive into and you enjoy because of its simplicity and its beauty and its power. But then now, let's attach a meaning before we jump to our next point. In the first example, the man was going about his business, but he was paying attention. He was looking and listening. But now this time, notice that the merchant, he says he was looking for fine pearls. Ah, he was being intentional. So here was a guy who every time he went to the marketplace, he was looking for something, right? He kind of rummaged through the clothes, and he rummaged through the shoes, and he rummaged through the, I'm trying to walk my way through Target, right? You have the arts and crafts section. Thank God they're all the same, so you don't get lost, right? You have all the kitchen stuff, and then on the side you have some of the furniture things, and then you have the bathroom stuff over here, and then you have the light bulbs over there, and my favorite section is there a new Star Wars collectible in the back, you know, back there in the movie section. And so he's rummaging through the whole thing, but he's looking for one thing. He's being intentional. Nope, this is not it. This is good. This is not it. Oh, this is nice. This is not it. Ooh, that would be great in the house. This is not it. He's looking until he finds it. And when he finds it, he knows that he has something so precious and so rare and so unique that he gives it all up.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.